To Greg Zabitz, who's in studio here.
Howdy.
Coldwell Banker, the real estate group. On Fridays, we talk about all things real estate, but we can talk about the military. Do you have a military background for you or your family?
No, I was in college. I think I was a sophomore or junior when the Vietnam thing almost tied up, and I got...
You got waived because you were in college.
Well, no, I actually, they put me on a train, took me to Chicago, did the whole physical and all that, and then I had, like, my number was like 110 or something. But I got a one-year deferment for some reason, and then by the time that year was up, and my number would have probably been called, but then they quit drafting, so I sort of lucked out.
You did, but we thank everybody for their service.
Definitely.
Glad you're here with us today. There were positive headlines in the national news this week about millennials going out and buying homes to the point where some people that invested heavily in the rental market were worried about a future squeeze. You're dealing with the clients here in town. Are you seeing the millennials pop up more in your buyers list?
Yeah, I work with a lot of them.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, I used to think I was the younger group when I got into real estate. I was 30. You know, I was one of the younger ages. Now I'm one of the old guys. So sort of weird to think about. I'm working with a bunch of younger people when I was one of them at one time when I started. But yeah, we work with all of them. Each sort of group has their own thing they're looking for. You know, the older couples, singles are still married, looking for one floor, mm-hmm. ranch usually, kids are gone, but they want maybe an entertainment area because at that point in their life they want to have an open space for friends and family.
Sure.
They come home.
Now, what about the millennials? What do they look for? First-time home buyers.
Interestingly, they're not as excited, at least the ones I've worked with a big old two-story, four-bedroom, three-car garage.
Okay.
They seem to be perfectly happy with something a little smaller, even a starter ranch, you know, a nice three-bedroom with finished basement because if they don't have a huge family yet. You know, you get four bedrooms, like, okay, what do I do with this? Because a lot of them are waiting to have kids
sure.
and waiting to buy a house until they're older. And
but yet they're buying a house.
Yeah, and they're buying, but they're not buying the, at least my impression is they're not buying the real expensive two stories like everybody else used to.
Right. And now is that based on what they can afford or just what they need?
I think it's a little bit of each. Okay. Because when they wait longer, they've got two good jobs, they can probably afford more. I find they're not maxing themselves out as much as people in the past when I worked with them. They go, how much can I afford? And I want to push it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, I can afford this much, but I want to spend, you know, $50,000 less.
We were worried for so long that the millennial generation was just going to be insecure about buying at all because they wouldn't necessarily be thinking, hey, this house is going to be what I'm in for the next 30 years. You know,
right.
They're going to be more mobile, not just trading into a bigger house, but trading to a different city might be in their forecast. So the fact that they're out buying at all is a good sign
yeah.
for our economy and our community.
They tend to move. Even this city has, I think last time I checked somewhere said 5 to 7 years is the average time for a move. I find that amazing. You know, my parents bought their one house. They lived in it 30 years, paid
yeah.
it off. And it's like, they never even thought of moving.
My parents had their mortgage burning party over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is an idea that is so foreign to me because I think I'll probably have a mortgage for the rest of my life.
In one form or another, we usually just keep trading up and then later on we trade down and eventually we might pay it off, but it's probably going to be later than sooner.
Well, and then refinancing and changing things up for payments and then looking forward to that tax deduction, which luckily everything they're talking about in Washington for tax changes is still going to include that mortgage tax deduction.
Yeah,
I couldn't be more thrilled.
Don't see that going anywhere.
No, that's very good.
In any form of that bill.
Which is very good. I was concerned there for a minute. All right, so tell me what you're seeing in the world, Greg Zabitz. This is Greg Zabitz, Coldwell Banker, the real estate group. He's been in business for over 30 years. He's got a whole team of people behind him. We have him in every Friday to talk real estate stuff and stuff here on WJBC.
Yes, we do. And I love doing this. I sort of look forward to my Fridays.
Good.
You know?
I look forward to having you here.
And it's fun to go over stuff. Now, real estate doesn't change like week to week as much as some people might think, but trends happen.
Mm-hmm.
I found out from talking with many people, including myself, it slowed down September and October. We didn't have as many calls, not as many listings, not as many people coming to our open houses. Seems to have changed
mm-hmm.
momentum. I mean, it always takes a breather, but it's always hard to fathom that while you're in the middle of that. But we've listed a number of houses, I think four or five. We've got three more coming up in the last week or week and a half, 10 days. We've got some buyers we're out showing. And so it feels like a good market.
Any closings? I mean, are there sales that are still going through? Because I hear things about real estate from the opposite end because I'm related to an inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're not busy, they're asking me, hey, has Greg sold anything? Need Greg to sell some stuff because they've got work to do.
We've got a couple pending coming up end of November, beginning of December.
Well, that's a bonus.
Yeah,
that means people are buying.
November, December is not where you're closing 10 or 12. Like sometimes in the summer we'll do that much. But it averages out. I'll do 65 homes, 70 homes a year. So You know, I'm doing a week, every week, one or one and a half, two sales.
Well, here, let's start a new trend. Buy a friend a house for Christmas, right? I'll just start that. You could write out some gift certificates and just say, go pick out a house. Although, the other day, I had a couple of minutes in between appointments before I was getting my my roots done.
Do you go stalking some houses?
I did. I was sitting in the parking lot outside of my hairdresser's, and I was using the Craig Savings app. And it just went, houses near me is my favorite thing to do to see when I'm in a different neighborhood. What's up for sale? And I am amazed at how many decent-looking properties are available for well under $100,000.
Yeah.
And that was not available when I was house shopping in the early 2000s for the first time in my life. But under $100,000, you can get a lot in this town depending on what you're looking for.
Depends on where you want to be. I mean, so sometimes price dictates location.
Right.
Because of age or whatever. And really, you can afford to buy in that price range for a lot cheaper than you can afford to rent in that price range.
Absolutely. For people who have dogs and you want a backyard, you don't want to share hallways with strangers that make smells, you know. sometimes you want your own you want your own walls, and that can be done.
Yeah. And aside to that, I mean, not only is it reasonable to buy, there is now stuff coming on because some of the stuff that didn't sell, they're saying, well, let's just rent it for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I have one that will be at $1,850. It's a house out in your subdivision for rent.
Out on the west side?
Yeah, they'll be coming up the end of this month, November. I've got a couple of smaller ones. It'll be in the $1,200 to $1,300, $1,400. So if somebody wants something for 6 months, say they're new to town, they really don't want the apartment lifestyle. Maybe they have kids and a dog and it won't work as well. They can give me a call. I might be able to find them a rental.
That's impressive because there were times where home rentals were just not available at all. So that's an opportunity. And then the last thing I was just going to ask you is about high-end rentals. Now, there was a really beautiful set of photos in the Pantograph today online about the Uptown Circle, one Uptown Circle where you're going to have all of the new office.
Is that in Normal out there?
Yes, in Normal.
Yeah, in the Circle, right.
Right, in the Circle where they've been doing all that construction. That building is supposed to get to the point where people can move in into the rental property.
I think it'd be great to live there. I mean, you're like right in the middle of it. You could go out for a meal or a drink or some wine and cheese and stumble home.
And that is why they're able to charge some very high rents because it was the first time I was able to look through the floor plans.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any tours or yourself into that building? Is there any?
No, I saw the original floor plans when they were going to do it a couple years ago, and then the market went south, so they held off. And I'm assuming it's similar wise. I thought it'd be cool to put a business down that lower floor, you know, have something that would cater to people in that building and kids in general.
There's a restaurant I know for a fact that's planned there, but I don't know what else could be going in there for shopping. I do know, though, the penthouse, even though it's on the website listed as for rent, the official penthouse level, which comes with its own private, you know, terrace and all of these things, $4,200 a month.
Steal it twice the price.
Three bedroom, I think it was three bath. I could be wrong. It could be two. But $4,200 a month.
Yeah.
And it's already rented. So that's pretty impressive to spend that kind of money.
I would bet a doctor, lawyer, somebody at ISU, a professor that makes
quite
good
possibly
money, might just want to have a really classy rental.
Now, for the other places, they had two bedrooms and one bedrooms that ranged in price from, I think it was $1,600 up to $2,500, and that is an upper end in the rental. I don't think there's any other rentals in Bloomington or Normal for
not
that
for
amount.
Not for condos like that.
I mean,
maybe a huge house might get in that stratosphere.
And can you or can you not buy those? Do you have to rent them?
I had heard the original plan before, not this turn, was for sale, like there'd be condos, or zero, whatever you want to call them, condos, townhomes. I don't know if they're going to be a combination of, you know, rent and then sell later.
Well, their website did not seem to infer at all sales opportunities, which is why I just found it unique. Now, I don't know what else is for rent or not, because it just said apply for everything. And I know my dog's too big to be allowed to live there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But somebody's going to get a really, really nice spot down there.
Yep.
And you might want to be taking a look, like I said, at the Pantograph. They've got some just a small selection of interior current under construction photos.
I hope it's somebody I know so I can go visit.
Me too. That's why I was kind of
invite me, please.
Here.
I'll bring the wine.
I know. We'll come to your housewarming. It'll be amazing.
Hey, I have a guest.
10:20. Let's take a short break, and then Greg Zavitz, you can introduce your special guest.
Yes.
That has come in to join us today. You know, Greg's got this whole list of people he works with all the time.
I got a guy.
And he put it online. So if you're looking for referrals of people who do all kinds of things for the interior and exterior of your home, house financing, well, we know you love Keith Thompson, but all kinds of different referrals. Go to gregapproved.com, and this keeps me from calling Greg all the time going, who is that guy that does the thing? I need to give him a holler. We'll see who his new friend is next.
WJBC and WJBC.com.
10:24, Greg Zavitz, you always bring me somebody entertaining that likes you at least most of the time. Who did you bring in with you today?
Mr. Wolf. He's a roofing contractor. TJ Wolf Roofing is the company name. And I've known you for years, haven't I?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't be shy. That microphone is yours for a reason.
Got to be about 4 inches, right? And, yeah. You know, being a realtor, you're running a lot of this inspection stuff where somebody finds something.
Right.
And all too often, it's not major. It's not like, hey, oh, we need a new roof. It's like, well, there's shingles missing. The boot around the stack is bad. And it always seems to be last minute or at the walkthrough or something.
I'd have to call a guy to find out what you even meant by saying the boot around the stack is what?
The rubber boot where there's things coming through the roof, like soil pipes and vents and furnace vents and stuff like that.
Okay.
They put a rubber boot around to make it watertight. Well, if you don't do it right with the shingles in the boot or it just gets old, and he can tell you more.
You can get a leak.
But there's so many times where, you know, it's not like I need a new roof. I need a section of roof done, or
like you need
missing shingles done, or the boots fixed, or soffits fixed. And you're still doing a little siding
right
and soffit work and stuff?
Yes.
So it's not just one thing. I've called him for, gosh, so many things. And you've even done stuff on my house.
Can I call you TJ?
Yeah. Okay. Call me whatever you want.
Yeah. Tyler, TJ, hey you.
Would you prefer Tyler or TJ?
That's my initials, but whatever's.
What does your mom call you?
Tyler.
Tyler. Tyler is what it's going to be.
But she screams it.
Yeah.
Tyler!
Yeah.
Okay.
And uses the middle
Tyler
name,
Jacob.
Probably.
Probably
yeah,
in there. Now, you've been in the roofing business for a long time.
Yeah, my whole life.
And what got you into roofing? Was it a family biz? Or?
Well, every summer that I'd go work for my stepdad. Mm-hmm. Every time I got in trouble with school, they'd make me go work. So I've been in it since I was 11 years old. Started from the bottom and worked my way up.
What's the hardest part in the roofing project? Like, if you are really doing a roof from top to bottom, what guy in that procedure do you not want to be?
Because
I know it's very hard work.
It's a juggle. Making everybody completely 100% happy, from the employees, the customers. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking
the wife.
But I'm thinking from an installation level. When your dad punished you to come do something, then your job was what? Picking up old shingles?
It was never a punishment, honestly. Okay. I've always loved what I've done. I love the trade, and I wouldn't have traded it for nothing.
Because it's a necessary evil to have people in the roofing industry. But to me, it's the hardest physically taxing job out of all of the trades. Because
it's another
weather,
day in the office.
Weather is not your friend. It's sometimes it's either too hot or it's too cold. Like, are you working on any projects right now in this weather? It's 30 degrees outside.
We're trying to wrap up, pull the crop out of the field, so to speak. We've got to get what's sold and what's promised done before we pull back and go into the slow season.
Well, I know everybody wants to have their roof repaired if it needs it before mm-hmm. we go into the snow.
Yeah.
But are there times where people will call and say, hey, I need you, and there's 3 feet of snow on the ground?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you'll still go out and work?
If it's an emergency and somebody needs you, yeah, you have to take care of them. Mostly in those cases are ice dam issues, where there's a lot of freeze thaw going on, sun, cold, heat, just a constant cycle of that, and your gutters are packing up more and more and more, and it creates as that snow starts to melt and the ice grows bigger and bigger from the gutter, you're starting to create a dam to where water's going to start pushing back and infiltrating your house or going over step flashing you know, the homeowner's like, yeah, I'm being invaded by water, which is a very eerie feeling.
What's my symptom of that being a problem inside the house? Because I can't imagine a lot of people walking outside and staring at their gutters the way
they
should.
No, they don't notice that. But once it starts backing up and up, and then you've got drywall starting to come down inside your home, or a big pile of water just freezing down. For instance, this one customer that I had a gutter coming from the second story, working its way down into a small little snow trap area on this little sunroom, and they didn't realize it because they're not in that room a lot. They looked, their drywall was falling off on the inside of the house. They're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I called back up, or they called me up there, and I hiked through a bunch of snow, got on the roof, and worked my way up there and busted all that ice down. And, I mean, it's real heavy. And it doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, and here we get a really freak occasion, a lot of snow, then it gets warm, and a lot more snow, then it warms up, and it cycles. And that's what creates the freeze-thaw.
So should I learn to call my roof guy when I'm all of a sudden having things that are leaking and coming through the walls? Because I'm guessing people aren't that smart. They probably call Greg and say, oh, my
God,
there's a leak. Yeah. And maybe think of a plumber before they think of a roofer. But really, you need the roofer?
Anything that's coming down from your ceiling, I would always check roof first because, you know, there's pipes in the walls. But to say they're above, like you have a two-story and you got a roof leak in the second story.
Right.
There's no pipes above that ceiling of the second story. Now, once in a while, you'll find some stuff where it comes down on the first floor from above, and it could be a toilet or a sink or something. But as an example, I had this water bubble in my second floor, and it was literally the drywall had held, and the paint had held, but it came out and it looked like something growing on my wall, and I poked it.
You were trying to pop the pimple in
your wall. And all the water ran out. And he came out and fixed a vent because through the wall went a pipe and went up through the ceiling, and the whoever had done it had done it right, and so water's coming down around the pipe, hitting that wall just right, and make it look real ugly.
Well, I've got so many questions for you, Tyler, because there are so many new kinds of roofs out there. I've heard about the future of solar tiles as your roof by the Tesla guy and so much more. So we're going to talk more with Greg Zavitz and Tyler Wolf of TJ's Roofing after we go to news here on WJBC.
News at the top and the
bottom. Keep your radio on WJBC, WJBC.com. I'm Eric Stock.
Thank you very much, Eric Stock. I'm Susan Saunders, and I always am proud of the work Greg Zavitz does with his marketing. He's here on Fridays talking real estate news, but he's not pushy when it comes to his marketing. Like, you can get the app, text to his number 8778, the word GZ sells, as in Greg Zavitz, and you get a link for an app that I can basically snoop everybody in the world when it comes to real estate homes that are for sale, real estate prices after the home sold, all kinds of fun stuff on that app. But he doesn't assault me with emails and calls and say, you ready to buy? You ready to buy? You ready to list? You ready to list? But I did get a email from you this week.
Yep.
And it was like, wow, I haven't gotten an email from Craig in a long time. And it was show prep. So tell me what was on that email. You have open houses and some new listings.
Yeah, we got an open house, three of them, on Saturday at an interesting time, 9:30 to 11. Sometimes we do them a little off from the regular ones. And that's one over on Cottage. If you take Hovey to Cottage and go down past the Jewel and the Pizza Place, and then you sort of go up by, I think, I used to say Stark, but it's another gravel company there.
Right.
And there's a road on Cottage there that just has some nice stuff. So this is it's a bi-level because you walk up steps, but it's all above ground. So it's not a bi-level that's partway in the ground. So you walk up steps when you go in, you go up or down, family room and or, you can call it a bedroom downstairs. And then two bedrooms up, fireplace, kitchen, walkout deck, stuff like that.
Price tag?
Don't have it right in front of me because I don't put those on my calendar.
Okay.
You caught me off guard.
Sorry.
Then I've got one on Gray Hawk, which is out by where I live in Eagles Landing. And we just reduced it. So it was in the 250s. Now it's $249.9. And we're going to do 2 hours, 10 to 12. Motivated seller, shall I say. You know, somebody wants to come look at it and throw an offer, I'd be happy.
Well, you said they just did a price reduction. So
yeah.
Sale prices.
They're motivated. And then we've got one on Walnut, which is just off of Linden in Bloomington, sort of just a block off Emerson.
Okay.
And so Walnut's an older lady, and she moved out, and it's just got some very comfortable feelings. It's one of the, like grandma's house. You know, you walk in, and it just sort of feels comfortable. It does have a two-car detached garage, which for that area, it's about a block and a half from Bloomington Junior High. So somebody has some kids that wanted just a nice cozy house, two-car garage, because everybody needs two cars.
We all do. At least one spot for the mower.
Those three are on Saturday.
And that is the neighborhood where I think they finally finished all of the sewer work that they were
doing. Yeah, they were doing the streets and doing all that stuff. So it's looking better.
Good time to move on in there.
Yes.
If people want to find out more about these houses and your other listings, where do you send them online?
You can go to my website, which is search Bloomington IL. And to get to
.com.
I just found out, because this is a newer site in the last few months, the best way to get to it to see my listing is just put my word Greg, my name in front of it. So Greg.searchbloomingtonil.com.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a subdomain, which will, when you go to that one, it actually shows my listings and my open houses right on the first page.
Greg.searchbloomingtonil.com. Get that done, and then you'll know what's going on. You can always contact Greg by calling or texting 275-4734, which is Ask Greg, and he sponsors this Friday show here on WJBC. And I was about to ask Tyler all kinds of questions as he's in studio from TJ's Roofing, but let me take a short break. We're up against the clock so we can talk more uninterrupted about new things in roofing, because there's some new technologies out there. Let's pick his brain after this.
BC.com.
And this hour of the program is also sponsored in part by our friends at Firestone. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. We always love it when Greg Zavitz brings in a friend, somebody that he's working with all the time as a real estate agent, when there's calls about, hey, the inspector said this, or, you know, home buyers, they've moved in and they realize, hey, I got to have something redone. When was the last time you had to deal with a roofer for your house?
For my house?
Yeah,
just this last summer.
Just this last summer.
Two closings ago, I had you guys go out and take care of a roof and back. We had some, we had all sorts of stuff needed to be done. But
part of it
was the ice damming up underneath the back area. And then we had some missing shingles. And we had a flashing where there's a wood sided, like a spruce or something, on the chimney chase going up. But they hadn't flashed it right to the roof. So that wood is just, you could stick a fork through it, you know, it was so bad. So we had to pull it off, and you guys did it and put new stuff up, and then I hired a painter to paint it and it looked like new.
You guys were not familiar to me when I had to have a roofing job done on my very first property, but I was so mad at the time when I was hiring roofers. I just went and got it done because the house was only 15 years old, and it didn't seem like a shingle should curl up and die within 15 years that wasn't related to storm damage. So tell me, TJ, a.k.a. Tyler of TJ's Roofing, how long do 2017 shingles expect to last if Mother Nature doesn't destroy them?
Okay. There are a lot of different manufacturers and makes of shingles. Mm-hmm. We install the CertainTeed line. If you're certified through the CertainTeed Corporation and install what is called the CertainTeed Integrity Roof System, that just means you're using A to Z products that are made by the CertainTeed Corp. You get a 5-star warranty that covers material and labor, tear-off, disposal, and workmanship for a full 50-year non-prorated warranty. So if there is defects, if there's any curling, buckling, granule loss, any issues manufacturally with that shingle, from year 1 to year 50, you're 100% covered.
Now, that's a good thing to have.
It's also non-prorated, so inflation is
now
included into
now
that.
Now, that's
cost.
Not a warranty that's going to say, hey, Mother Nature can't come through angry one day with softball size hail. You could have shingles torn off because there was straight line winds or a tornado of some sort that comes through. That warranty doesn't cover that type of stuff. But do those shingles at least resist the common hail wind that we have here in central Illinois really well?
Your non-SBS rubber modified shingles are going to be damaged by, I'd say, golf ball size hail is going to really damage the roof.
That's when you need to call the insurance.
I'd say a little more than a quarter and under a golf ball size, that's when it's really going to cause some damage. They do have the Northgate SBS rubber modified shingles that are impact resistant. Those are the Northgate line, a heavier shingle. But as far as if they're not a rubber modified made shingle, they're not going to reflect hail.
Well, let me ask you a question that a lot of people have wanted to know about when they see these pretty metal roofs that I have to say are attractive on some homes, not necessarily in all of the subdivisions in town. Would a a metal roof suddenly look correct with all of the other ones if it was done in green or blue or red or something. But I've seen a lot of technology going that way. What's your thought on metal roofs? Are they a great thing or no?
Well, I will put on metal roofs on barns, outbuildings, anything like that. When you're coming into a house that's got a lot of interesting eaves, valleys, twists and turns, really cut up, a lot of walls or protrusions coming out through the roof, those areas are very hard to flash properly. And any area with metal like that is going to have a problem reflecting water.
Mm-hmm.
You're more prone to have issues with roofs like that, in my experience. I've seen a lot of problems with roofs that are very intricate, that they use a standing seam or any metal panels.
So is it possible people are turning the wrong direction for a metal roof when they should really not have a metal roof?
Sometimes if you've got an idea in your head and you're prone to go that direction, you end up learning a pricey lesson later on down the road.
And then I have seen theoretical stuff about solar-type roofing shingles that turn into solar panels. How far away are we from having that?
I'm very intrigued by the idea. I've done my research on that, and I'd really be interested in seeing how that pans out. They say that they're going to have a solar panel shingle that are going to be compatible price-wise with the asphalt shingles, so that'd be really neat. I haven't seen any of it yet, or had
so
any
none
prices
of it's available on the market yet. But you're searching for it, so
yeah.
If somebody's going to have it, you're going to have it.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first one around to when it comes.
If you get it, will you let us know here?
Because
it's really interesting technology.
I'll buzz the door until you let me in.
Well, maybe we'll
bring him back in for another one.
That would be fabulous. Greg Zavitz, anything else happening in the world of roofing that we should talk about, or non-roofing?
Not so much roofing, but I want to throw a plug out there. I just got a huge $40,000 price reduction on my listing on 4 Litticourt, LITTA. That's out in Tipton Trails, mm-hmm. off of Airport, College, and whatever the other side street is. And $40,000 down for a very nice 4-bedroom, 2-story finished basement, 3-car garage house on a cul-de-sac. So, you know, when we get a nice price reduction, I try and promote it.
So what is the price now?
$349,900.
Okay, means it was close to a $400,000 house.
Originally, it was, and then we reduced it a little bit, and then we just decided to get motivated. It's vacant, so I mean, it'd be great for somebody that's coming to town, an executive or somebody that needs something quick, but wants something unique and very nice.
I do want to ask you about some of those bigger end houses. We'll take a break and do that. But before we do, I just want to say thank you, Tyler, for all of the roof conversations. Any final thoughts before the holidays about how not to put up holiday lights that destroy your roof?
Well, I would just say that anyone that is going to put up holiday lights, please be very careful. Don't take any chances. And if you feel uncomfortable, ask for some help. Don't hurt yourself.
Get a
before
professional.
The holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. Those blow-up things, I think, should be down on the lawn, not up on the roof anyway.
You got a phone number people can call you?
309-706-0252.
0252-706-0252. And where can people find you online?
You can just Google TJ's Roofing.